Welcome to the September 27th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Worship Associate Earl Irwin and our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips. The title of Earl's homily is Renewing Hope in Transformation.
Good morning. And welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where together we inspire, create, and transform. I'm Earl Irwin, and I'm happy to be weaving worship with Rev. Pam today. If you are with us for the first time, we're glad that you found us. You'll find a link in the virtual visitor's card in the chat. Fill it out if you'd like to keep in touch with us or for us to keep in touch with you. We invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go to breakout rooms for a chance to meet in small groups for conversation. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. And thanks to all the volunteers who make all of these activities possible. If you have a joy or sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat to fill out as well.
So I would like to lift up a few announcements. Let me share the screen. So there is going to be a bridging conversation on listening courageously. It will be following the service at 11:30, and you'll find the Zoom link for that either on the calendar or in the reminder for today's service. Also, the anti-racism group meets today at 1 o'clock. Also, the Zoom is in the announcements and on the calendar. And once again, we're starting up a new social, purely social group, which is a Monday meetup tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So here are some of the items that are still up for bid. I'm told that the snowshoe weekend is going for a lower amount of money. So if the cost was too high or prohibitive, please do consider going to the auction site, and there'll be things closing soon since it's the end of the month. So take a look and see if there's anything that you'd like to pick up. Now I'd like to introduce our Director of Lifespan Faith Development, Karen Hager.
Last week was another great week in RE. Our preschool class read the book Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus with coloring pages and activity sheets. After class, the children made a fun bus paper craft. The K-5 class watched the Pixar short Lou about the creature made from the assorted unclaimed items in a lost and found box that teaches a boy an important lesson. We had an excellent discussion about bullying, and after class they made kindness rocks, rocks with inspirational messages painted on them that are given to others or left somewhere for strangers to find. The middle school class watched the Simpsons episode Bart Gets an F with a discussion about prayer. Did you know that religion is discussed in The Simpsons more than virtually any other program on primetime TV? Our scavenger hunt continues this month on the UUC grounds with lots of families visiting and having a great time. This is our final week, so don't miss the opportunity to come explore. The scavenger hunt is open to all ages.
Thanks, Karen. And now we're gonna light our chalice. So I'll ask Noemi Short. There she is. And while she lights her chalice at home, Earl will lead us in the chalice lighting words.
I invite you to light a candle or chalice at home as we light the chalice in the sanctuary. And please join me in saying the words. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Today's opening words are titled "A New Day Awaits" by Reverend Scott Taylor. We who long for return, who long for repair, gather again to mend the tender strands of connection between each other, the world, and those parts of ourselves buried deep. We begin once more the work of welcome, of forgiveness, of renewing this weary, worn world. Come, friends, a new day, a new story awaits. Please join me in reading the Congregational Covenant printed on the screen. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement, to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Each week, we at UUC donate half of the offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week, we'll be sharing the plate with the Blacksburg Interfaith Food Pantry. You may have noticed that we've been sharing it with them more frequently than usual, and that's what, part of the reason for that is that every year we have a wonderful program called It's Scary to Be Hungry, which we're going to do in October, and Karen will let us know more about that. But because of COVID, we don't have the same opportunities to donate quite as much. So we're trying to increase our contributions to that worthy organization with so many people suffering from hunger. So I invite you to donate your offerings in one of these ways. You can either go online, you can text FUND to 844-909-2617, or you can use the Give Plus app on your smartphone. There's a practice that we used to have when we were gathering together, and I've been missing these words. Victoria reminded me of them. So I'm going to pretend that we've already gathered together all of our offerings and brought them to the front, and let me say the words that we say together. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. We also have a practice of lighting candles of hope and remembrance. And so if you would like a candle lit on our candle table, please write it in the chat and Jamie will light candles for you. I'll ask you to light one final candle, knowing that there are joys, there are sorrows, there is hope and remembrance that remain in the sanctuary of our hearts. I invite you now into a mood of meditation. Take a deep breath, to soften your shoulders, to ground yourself wherever you are so that you can hear these words. This is a prayer for mourning, and they were written by Odette Fulbright Folsom. Some of you may remember her from her days as the minister in Roanoke. Did you rise this morning, broken and hung over with weariness and pain, and rage, tattered from waving too long in a brutal wind. Get up, child. Pull your bones upright. Gather your skin and muscle into a patch of sun. Draw breath deep into your lungs. You will need it, for another day calls to you. I know you ache. I know you wish the work were done, and you, with everyone you have ever loved, were on a distant shore, safe and unafraid. But remember this, tired as you are not alone. Here also, there are others weeping and rising and gathering their courage. You belong to them, and they to you, and together we will break through and bend the arc of justice all the way down into our lives. Amen, and blessed be. And now I invite our prodigal daughter, Earl Irwin, to deliver today's homily. Earl.
September has been our month to contemplate renewal. And this morning, we consider renewal as an essential component of transformation. In a world that can often feel so broken, how might we renew our faith and hope in the possibilities for transformation? When I consider the concept of transformation, my memories fly backward in time to the start of my career as a therapist, when I held office hours in other therapists' office space, without a space to make my own. In one of those spaces, the prevailing therapist had decorated with a wall plaque painted with one word, hope. During sessions, I often noticed clients' eyes gravitating to that plaque. When that therapist moved on, leaving the space to me, but taking the hope plaque with her, many clients commented that hope had left the building. I felt the need to fill the empty space with an inspiration of my own choosing, but that inspiration had not yet come. When a client commented that she missed the hope plaque so much that she'd been shopping for a replacement for my office, I knew that I needed to take action, lest I be stuck with someone else's word of intention. I had not wanted simply to replace hope with hope, because I wanted to inspire clients with something more proactive. Many of them fell into the personal miasma where I have often found myself, all effort holding on to hope without any plan for how to make change. Some hope that their spouses would stop hitting them. Some hope that they'd stop drinking. Some hope that their employers would stop bullying them. Some hope their children would wake up respectful and obedient. Many hoped that doing the same ineffective or foolhardy thing over and over again would this time have a different outcome. I went home that evening and cross-stitched the word transformation, which I wonder if it looks backwards to you, but. In these early days, the internet was not yet a thing, so I didn't try to Google the definition for transformation. In my mind, hope was a mere mental process, while transformation was the embodiment of hope, put to action to create meaningful change. Many of you know that I've returned from 6 months providing mental health support on Ocracoke Island, North Carolina, as part of hurricane relief. Among my many efforts at outreach, I wrote for the local paper an occasional column called Ask a Mental Health Professional. Readers submitted questions that I would attempt to answer. Questions such as, why does every storm that comes to the island cause me such anxiety? Or, since our family of four is forced to stay home together due to COVID-19 restrictions, how do we keep from killing each other? One particular question challenged me in such a way that my efforts to formulate a response were stymied for weeks. That question, how do we use what we are learning from Hurricane Dorian and the pandemic to make meaningful changes, both for ourselves and for the world? Wow. I believe that question, the one that I wrestled with for most of the spring and summer, parallels the question that is our theme this morning. In a world that can often feel so broken, how might we renew our hope and faith in the possibilities of transformation? What I initially wrote to the posed query, what a thought-provoking question, one that calls upon us to consider the crises we've endured as learning opportunities that can help us prepare for the future. I then reflected upon what residents of the island had learned about community as they worked shoulder to shoulder to renew and repair their village after the specific crisis of hurricane devastation. Here in the New River Valley at UUC, a hurricane may not be among those crises we personally are dealing with, but I ask this question. What have we in the UUC family learned about community as we have dealt with current crises in our world? I pause here for a moment so that you can consider these questions. And as your answers pop into your awareness, will you please add them to the chat? Those questions, which are going to appear on the screen for your consideration, are, what have you learned about community in the past 6 months? How have we come together and supported each other in new ways? What might we want to take forward into a post-COVID world? I ask you now to think about these questions. Let whatever answers pop into your mind come onto the chat, whether it be the one question or all three questions. And I will, in a moment, read those out, your responses out loud. Wonderful responses are beginning to come in, and I'm going to start reading them. Humility in asking for help and love in receiving it. Bigger community is not better than small. Keep doing Zoom for small meetings. No need to return to adding so much carbon to the atmosphere. Community is beyond those in front of us. We have to seek out and support the development of community in different ways. I think I'll keep my husband. Think and listen more to others. The importance of checking in on one another. We have more creative, inspired, problem-solving skills than we knew. I've learned that community will endure even across distance with some creativity, but that seeing folks in person is so good for my mental health when it can be done safely. Learning new skills. All distractions disappear, and you recognize how important our relationships are. Community is still there despite being physically apart. The joy of meeting outdoors in our picnic area on Monday mornings. I have learned that community is something that we all long for, and that we are seeming to miss community in a way that wasn't really there to begin with. Our community was broken, leaving people lonely. It took a pandemic to realize this. To look again at the varied membership of UUC and realize we are still one large family. We've learned that community is essential, and there's lots of ways to reach out. Communities are so important, but can be fragile, healthy, and unhealthy. I've learned that community is more important than I realized. To help others and myself, I've been shopping for a friend. Consider having Zoom capabilities for committee meetings so those who can't attend that day in person can participate. I've learned to say no and gracefully accept help. I want to keep those forever. Take time for yourself. Take forward new ways to connect with others in the deep and meaningful ways that are opening up new dimensions of relating fully. We can be whole even when apart. Our grounds have helped keep community strong. I will never take a hug for granted again. Community is family. To take forward, complement in-person gatherings with online small forums. Thank you. That outpouring of ideas and your reactions to the questions is so generous and so rich. And we'll have more time to discuss in the coffee hour afterwards. The question of what we can bring with us into a post-COVID world calls for your responses of hope and faith. Faith that together our whole is greater than our parts. And as a community, we can address what needs to be done. And if we look beyond the UUC community to the world community, what can we carry with us that may benefit the world? I have just asked you to consider what you've learned about community that will help in renewing a broken world without asking you to inventory the many ways the world seems broken right now. And I'm not going to do that here. When we talk about community healing, we imply that brokenness among humans of the world. Yet, we know that the world's brokenness extends far beyond what is broken between us. It extends to the ways we have broken the planet. Here, too, we find lessons to be learned and hope to be carried forward. Consider that news media abound with reports of how the natural world has benefited from the decreased human impacts during times of COVID-19. For example, clearer skies and improved air quality. According to the BBC, nearly a quarter of the world's greenhouse gas emissions are attributed to transport. During the pandemic, transport of both goods and humans has been restricted through less shipping, less commuting, and less air travel. Other sources of air pollution have been slowed by COVID-19 restrictions on manufacturing plants. NPR has reported that in the absence of cruise ships and with the reduction in shipping vessels, the oceans are quieter, allowing whales and other noise-sensitive marine animals to flourish. Social media postings throughout the world have reported sightings of wildlife in areas where they previously have not been commonly seen, such as swan and dolphin that have returned to the canals of Venice. These sightings may be attributed to both healthier environmental conditions and to humans taking the time to notice their surroundings in new ways. Yet, when it's back to business as usual, how quickly will we return to pre-pandemic pollution and damage and to the acceleration of climate change? According to the online scientific journal PHYS.org, many scientists predict we immediately will resume our old ways, possibly with haste and little forethought, feeling deprived for so long and overly eager to make up for what seems to have been lost. Yet it need not be that way. What have we learned through the sacrifices we've experienced under COVID-19 restrictions? We each may examine our current way of life and the changes we've made. Certainly, we're driving less, shopping less. Some things that have been difficult to obtain during the pandemic, toilet paper, for example, we don't want to continue to do without. Yet, what have we given up that now, months later, we no longer miss? Conscientiously, we can evaluate our consumerism, the cumulative consumption of goods and services as driven by individuals' belief that our fundamental well-being and happiness are dependent upon the acquisition of goods, services, and material possessions. Many environmentalists believe that that consumerism is a major contributor to climate change. Yet the pandemic has forced each of us to consume differently. And when it's in the past and we have survived, do we really need to resume old ways of spending and acquiring? A question to consider. If we each consume more carefully with more forethought, can we make a difference? Let's return to the definition of renewal. The replacing or repair of something that is worn out, run down, or broken. We have considered this morning the many ways we already are learning to repair, replace, work around what is broken in this world. There are lessons to be learned in this brokenness. And as you have shared here this morning, we are learning these lessons every day. I invite you to consider these learning opportunities, for here lies the hope. I've already shared that I'm a proponent of putting action to hope. And if we each, on a personal level, do that, consider the merit in the lessons we're learning, and renew our commitment to use this knowledge to make meaningful change, then we will succeed in personal transformation. Give our personal transformation an opportunity for community spread, and there is hope that a broken world can begin to heal.
So at the end of Earl's homily, I wanted to say, can I get an amen? Amen, amen. And in that spirit, I say there is more hope somewhere, but we've got to make it. We can do all we need to do together. So I'll ask Jamie to extinguish our chalice, but not the light of hope, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we will take in our hearts until we are together again, virtually and in person.